Here's our next UFC Fight Night on ESPN Plus tomorrow from the Apex in Vegas. Lightweight main event is rising star Grant Dawson taking on the King Bobby Green. The prelims start 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7. This has become a week of make fun of everything greeny.
Let's get this.
I'll be watching.
Let's get it.
That's a lot of medicine in those.
It's one man whose hips move and one man whose don't.
I live in a van. I am a motivational speaker.
Booker's head.
Like a giant baby.
That is a really big head.
Looks like a planet. Jimmy Butler turned a lot of heads. This is
terrible.
Does the look have a name?
Say it's a pimp named Slickback.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Is Taylor Swift 6'7"?
The man boobs were kind of what jumped out at me.
Y'all done lost y'all's freaking minds up there, man.
We are very simple humans.
He's coming back!
We are manifesting this.
I'm going to get rid of all that doo-doo.
I'll be honest with you.
Up to the jersey. We're talking
I'm not talking
jersey.
To a jersey. Okay. Okay. I'm looking at you.
Okay.
What do you call a chicken that stares at lettuce?
Chicken Caesar salad!
Oh, no! A lot of fun this week. Delighted anytime you choose to get up with us as we continue on this Football Friday live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. You see the squad. Graziano's here. Bartholomew's going to hit somebody. Tannenbaum's going to make a deal. And Ryan Clark is up and ready to go. Let's do it. What happened by the Beltway last night? Who are these Chicago Bears who showed up last night ready to roll? Justin Fields and company taking on the Commanders. First drive of the game, setting the tone. DJ Moore.
You talk about his connection. That's unbelievable. They brought him in to be a number one receiver, and he's living up to the billing. He had himself a day, Greeny.
He had himself a night and destroyed me in fantasy. I'm not going to lie to you. Here he is. Well, how do you get this open from the 20-yard line?
It's usually a whoopsie, the double move, somebody falling for the banana in the tailpipe.
7-0 Bears early, and they were just getting started. Fields again, Moore again, touchdown again. Actually, this one's a 39-yard gain. And then they're going to switch sides of the field because we go to the second quarter. And here comes the touchdown. And what a spectacular catch.
I mean, you talk about placement. You talk about time. You talk about a receiver. This is amazing, man. DJ Moore, it was him last night, man. He put the league on notice.
8 catches, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns. 49 fantasy points. Believe me, I know. In the meantime, 2.5 to go in the second quarter. Commanders, this game goes bad to worse. Greg Stroman Jr. with the pick. Sam Howell not happy, and here's why. Bears cash in this time. Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet, we call this banana tailpipe. This is jerk route right here. See him throw him, see him catch it.
27-3 Chicago at the half. Now, Sam Howell trying to bring the Commanders back here. Second half, fourth quarter, Curtis Samuel. That's 25 yards for the red zone, and then it's Samuel who takes it in for the score. So Commanders get back to within 10. They go for the 2, which they should have done Sunday. They don't get it, so it's 30-20. 5 minutes left, same score. Joey Sly comes in, and this is no good. And that is a big miss, and Sam Howell knows it. Ensuing Bears drive, 3rd and 2. They just need a couple first downs to run out the clock, and they get that and then some.
Whoopsies.
DJ Moore again.
Yeah, man, this is Fuller was trying to dare to be great, change the game, and this one cost him down the other side, man.
56 yards for his 3rd touchdown. Fields would throw 4. Bears win big. Justin, what?
Getting a dub after everything that's, you know, happened this year. You know, everything in the media, everything on the outside. It just feels good when you can say that the hard work paid off. So again, I'm proud of everybody in the building. I love everybody on my team, players, coaches, shoot, everybody upstairs. I might not even know them, but I love y'all.
The kid has been unbelievable. He's played 7 of the best quarters we've seen all season long over the last 5 days. I just look at the numbers in these 2 games, albeit one of them in that losing effort to Denver. The QBR has improved by 52 points. He's only the 2nd Bears quarterback ever to throw 4 touchdowns in consecutive games. Jay Cutler, the only other one ever to do it. So, RC, we're sitting here trying to figure out exactly what has happened. How do you describe what we saw from Justin Fields last night?
I mean, this is what we had been expecting from Justin Fields. This was what we were all looking for from him as well. And you never felt like it was going to happen. If you take us back 2 weeks ago before the Denver Broncos, you thought it would be more likely that Justin Fields would be traded, Matt Eberflus would be fired, rather than seeing them play on Thursday night and him play at such a high level. Justin Fields has seemed to tap in to understand that if we get the football to DJ Moore, if we look at guys like Cole Kmet, we can make plays. But the play that signified everything for me last night was, you go back to the first drive, he's sacked by Montez Sweat in the high red zone. It's 3rd and 14. In the past weeks, we've seen this same sort of situation, and Justin Fields has held the football. He's gotten sacked. He's put his team in a worse position. He finds DJ Moore in the corner of the end zone on an all-goal special versus two high safeties. And I said, okay, this could be a little different. And then you watch him progress through the game, continue to make those plays, push the football down the field. And what I loved about Luke Getsy as well is you saw in the first half they were starting drives with quarterback run, getting him loose, getting him lubed up, getting him ready to go. And I thought that everything they did from a coaching standpoint put Justin Fields in a better place to succeed, and he rewarded them with success. He rewarded them with progress. And I think that's exactly what you have to do if you're looking for this sort of production. Now it's to build on it again, which we were asking last week after Denver. We've seen it twice. Now we have to see it again so we can start to feel like Justin Fields is the long-term answer in Chicago.
Well, so that brings up a fascinating question, because that is a place they'll have to get to at some point here as he approaches the end of his third NFL season. It brings us perfectly to what Canty just said. So, RC, you may not have had a chance to see this, but Chris Canty came over here about a half hour ago, and I asked him his reaction to what we saw from Justin Fields, and he got us all thinking when he said this.
Sell high. Go ahead and move off of Justin Fields right now. His value is not going to get higher than what it is. You're talking about a player that has a 25-game sample size, and they've won 6 games. Not to say that Justin Fields can't be a good quarterback. Not to say that Justin Fields can't play winning football. What I'm saying is, based on where the Chicago Bears are in their program development, it makes more sense for them to move away from Justin Fields now rather than allowing him to play out the string the rest of the season and potentially devaluing what he could be in a potential trade to another team.
Got us thinking a little bit out here, RC, and we got into it with him a little. What's your reaction to that?
You know what? I don't think that's a bad idea. And listen, I love Justin Fields. I've been high on Justin Fields since he was at Ohio State, especially in his last season when he had some of those struggles during 2020. And if you see Justin Fields now, and if people on the outside looking in, you, Greeny, you, I, Rex, and Dan had this conversation on Monday that if he played for the Atlanta Falcons, what could that team be? When you look at guys like Caleb Williams, also Drake May at the University of North Carolina, the Chicago Bears could be a team that are drafting extremely high in a draft that seems to have great quarterback potential when you think of those two guys. They will have two early draft picks. If you sell now on Justin Fields, start to build more on your team. I think if you do that, though, if we're going to sell high on Justin Fields, we also have to sell on Matt Eberflus. We may also have to sell on Ryan Poles. And you tear the entire thing down. And in tearing the entire thing down, getting your new young quarterback, you start fresh. You start anew. But if that's not the route you're going, if you're not saying that we're going to break this thing down to the bare bones, no pun intended, and now reconstruct it, then I don't think you sell on Justin Fields. But if that's what your plan is, Justin Fields doesn't need to be there for a new coach. And so Chris Canty isn't far off. He just didn't finish the thought completely.
I don't think you changed the regime, and this is why. They're going to say this wasn't our quarterback. We didn't draft him. We didn't build our system and build our team. They didn't have the pieces to play the way that we want to play. So they'll be able to say that. And I think Poles has done a tremendous job in getting more talent on his team. They still have a ways to go. But I think if you can trade him, you can still essentially get a future one. So you're looking at a team that can have a couple of ones, two twos.
I don't know if a team's going to give up a first-round pick.
You don't think Atlanta would give up next year's one to get their quarterback with all the weapons that they have around?
No, because their calculus would be, I got to give up a one and pay him the veteran.
You think it's not going to be an open market for him from Tampa, from other teams that
you
say.
You can get Justin Fields pretty cheap. You trade for Justin Fields right now. You pick up the fifth-year option.
Right.
You have 2.5 years of him at something like $30 million total. Yeah. That's a pretty good deal.
Right, but the the position that Greeny is, I could go draft Quinn Ewers or somebody else in the first round next year.
Not if you're Atlanta.
Atlanta won't be there. Atlanta won't be that bad.
Talk to me, Danny.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I just think, like, Quinn Ewers would love to be there a Bears late. Fan waking up to this morning. Like, you won a game for the first time in literally a year. And what are they saying about us on GetUp? Oh, tear the whole thing down.
Well,
but seriously, like they are somewhat invested in Justin Fields, right? They went through last year with him. This is a year of his development in a new system. You know, the idea of trading him to a team where he would have to start from scratch and learn a new offense, that's doing him a disservice. I think
it's not about him. It's about the
I understand. I get it. From the standpoint of the organization, I think it's an interesting idea to ponder if you really feel like, hey, we're going to be in position between our pick and Carolina's to maybe draft an elite guy that's better than this guy, and he's going to be cheaper over the next couple of years than this guy is. Yes, I understand that. I don't think they're at that point. I don't think they're at the point of waving the white flag on Justin Fields just yet. I think he gets the year.
I agree. The other part of the conversation is, hey, he's getting better. 617 yards over the last two games. What does he look like with Marvin Harrison and DJ Moore? That's something that's going to be part of the conversation at the end of the year.
What does Caleb Williams look like with Marvin Harris Jr. so they can grow together and be a dynamic duo like Burrow and Chase? At the end of the day, he still was 15 for 29. DJ Moore did a lot of the heavy lifting.
RC, go.
Okay, Bart. That. Come on now. Talking about a lot of the heavy lifting on the sluggo in the second quarter. That's heavy lifting when the football is put
DJ
exactly
Moore was wide
where
open.
It needs
Greeny
to be.
Was like, what
where,
happened?
Where it needs to be. He was not wide open on the sluggo. He was wide open on the first touchdown that was in the too high. That's not true, Bart. That's not true. Justin Fields played well last night. Justin Fields played extremely well through three-plus quarters the week before, too. And I'm not going to come over here and discredit him when he does play well, even if we're talking about trading him. Justin Fields is a dude when put in the right position, when using the play action, when in 12 personnel so Cole Kmet could get across the middle, when we are targeting DJ Moore, which we were supposed to be targeting DJ Moore, when we traded for DJ Moore as the number one, we can make plays. And so I don't believe that Justin Fields is a product of some lucky wand waving that's happened in Chicago the last 2 weeks. The dude is talented. It's about
I didn't say
the
he
right
was.
Position, and we've seen those things happen. We've also seen him change since him saying, hey, it's on the coaches, bringing everybody back and saying, no, it's on me. I got to be better. I got to focus on that. And sometimes you need that. We can't get on here on Monday. Oh, my God. Zach Wilson's so much better. He can help the team. If he plays like this, the Jets could go to the playoffs. And now we have seven quarters that were better than all of Zach Wilson's four quarters against the Kansas City Chiefs, and now say it's other people. Justin Fields is a guy that can play. They seem to be tapping into it, whether they tap into it here for the rest of the year or you try to trade him at the highest for the highest market value. This is a talented dude. And so I think the Chicago Bears need to figure out, do we want him for what we'll have to pay the next 2 years, and then maybe the 5 years after that if we continue to sign him? Or do we want Caleb Williams, who I have seen in person two times, and he is a Mickey-Ficky problem? Do we want him, team him with Marvin Harrison Jr., team him with DJ Moore, and see what that kid can be, because he is truly, truly special?
Let me give Graziano the final word. Go.
I think it's important to also remember for Justin Fields, we talked earlier about quarterbacks overcoming adversity. That offensive line was shredded. They lost their center in the game. They lost literally every running back they had to injury during that game, playing with DJ Moore as their only great receiving option. I think he did. I think it's the talent, but he's also showing something more than that in that victory last night.
All right, let me leave it there for the moment. There's obviously a lot here. It's fascinating. And, yes, for everyone waking up in Chicago, I think it's a complimentary conversation as opposed to the opposite. We're not sitting here saying Justin Fields isn't good. We're saying they have fascinating decisions
ahead. Mm-hmm.
You wake up this morning and everything just feels different. This was a fire everybody kind of week. Mm-hmm. And instead, here we wake up on Friday morning and we're wondering if this team has a completely different path. As we continue in a moment, we've seen back-to-back playoff disasters in San Francisco for the Cowboys. Is Sunday a must-win for Dak and Dallas? We'll talk about it. Plus, huge weekend in the AFC North. Can Pickett and the Steelers bounce back against Lamar and company? Can Joe Burrow save the Bengals' season? Those are the questions, and the answers are on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Don't sweat the technique.
This is the super team era now.
Never sweat the technique.
This finals matchup was destiny.
WNBA Finals begin Sunday, 3 Eastern on ABC. The league's two best teams, Liberty and Aces, squaring off. WNBA Countdown kicks off our coverage at 2:30 Eastern. All right, we roll on. It's time for safety concerns with our safety, Ryan Clark. RC, what are your concerns this week?
Well, I mean, the first one, I think, starts with Joe Burrow. Will Joe Burrow be able to go to this game and find ways to make plays? Will he be in a position to continue to protect himself? Can Zach Taylor, can Brian Callahan find ways to get him out of the pocket? And you heard what Ja'Marr Chase said. Ja'Marr Chase said he is always open. And if he's always open, they need to find a way to get him the football. And Trevor Lawrence, he'll be facing a Buffalo Bills defense that has been absolutely dominant the entire season, but especially the last 2 weeks against Sam Howell and Tua Tagovailoa. We watched them be just a little off versus the Atlanta Falcons the week before the Houston Texans, and I was expecting an MVP type season from this quarterback. And if we don't get that from him overseas or in London or however the hell you get there, because the mind. And unfortunately, I gotta talk about Kenny Pickett. Jeez. Oh, peace. It used to be about his small mittens. Now it's about his surrounding cast. It's about his offensive coordinator. It's about, can Kenny Pickett push the football down the field? You're playing a Baltimore Ravens team that went into Cleveland and absolutely ate their dog food. And if they can't find a way to protect him, if you can't find a way to get a run game, it is going to be mince meat and lunch meat for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett has to be better, but they have to be better in helping him find ways to be successful.
You know, it's remarkable the way we've talked about the Steelers this week. And RC, you and I talked about it Monday. We talk about them like they're 0-4. There's something about that team that feels like they're 0-4.
It feels like it. It feels like it does.
Somehow has that team 500. Right? That just never seems to go that way. But they just look, when they look bad, they look so bad. Bart, and this is an interesting game, a measuring stick, if you will, against the Ravens here in that division. Why are you smiling like that?
Because it's Steelers week. Double chin straps, somebody going to get laid the hell out. I love it. And it's so funny because throughout this rivalry, so often when Ryan Clark was on the other side and I was staring at him and it was like, who has the better defense, right? And it was, they were first and we were first. But they always had something that we never had. That's a franchise quarterback. Mm. It's no fun when a rabbit has a gun and your quarterback stinks and ours is a MVP. Now you see what it feels like to be on the other side trying to stop a Hall of Famer. You got a guy over there with a pea shooter with Junior Whopper hands.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I don't even want to get in the middle of this. I'm just enjoying this back and forth. What are we seeing here, Danny?
Look, the offense has not come together. Like RC referenced the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. Like, he's had three different quarterbacks, right? And one of them is a Hall of Famer in Roethlisberger, and then Trubisky, and now Pickett. Like, there's something wrong systemically with that offense in Pittsburgh.
Let's just admire the beautiful work of Pickens and his.
They need to figure something out.
Look at the just a beautiful thing watching to watch. This.
I do want to say, though, like, can we all agree right now to not watch the preseason next year or at least not react to it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because we were talking about the Steelers like they were going to set records on offense, and they're not.
He had
they
a perfect
Steelers
pass.
Records
they might set some
four,
records.
But for the worst offense in Steelers history.
You know, and Greedy, you said it earlier the week about Kenny Pickett and the outside's expectations, but I think what Bart's saying is right. Like, two great defenses. Lamar Jackson is an under-the-radar MVP right now. He is playing great football.
Yeah.
They're going to get healthier, especially on offense. And I just don't know how Pittsburgh's going to be able to score with them, not only this week, but going forward, Green, this offense just looks moribund for the Steelers.
Yeah, when we put the picks up on the screen here, Cindy and RC, let me come to you because I know how much
RC!
You...
RC!
Everybody is on the radar.
RC's a Trojan horse!
It's hard to beat.
You Judas!
Let me ask a question, though, seriously, RC.
All you have to see.
Because on Monday, or after the game on Sunday, I should say, Mike Tomlin said, hell yeah, we're going to make some changes. And then, at least outwardly, he hasn't. So what do you expect to be different on Sunday as you seem to be lapsing into a meditative state?
He's going through it.
Oge ringe kai.
This is what my grandma used to do when we used to work her nerves during the summer because all her kids sent their kids over to stay with her and she was tired of us and she wanted us to go home. She'd just sit in the front and she'd close her eyes, Greeny, and she rock. And I miss old Mama Alice right now. Mama Alice used to make me a great breakfast sandwich, man. It's the first time I ever realized you could put jelly on a sandwich with eggs and biscuits, man. Golly, I miss those days. You know, when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, Greeny, I think what you said encapsulates it the best way possible. This feels like a 4-0 team because when you look at them winning against the Cleveland Browns, you had to get two defensive scores to even be in that game. You can't produce that every week. And so if you're hanging your hat on defense, you go back to last week against the Houston Texans where C.J. Stroud basically did every Oak Town, every Bay Area dance because he was able to put up over 300 yards. They played too short. They played E-40. They played Nipsey Hussle. They played Kendrick Lamar because we couldn't stop the kid from Cali. And so now you're going against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, whose accuracy was off the charts in Cleveland against one of the best defenses in the entire league. And you have a quarterback who's not only injured, who's not only banged up, but when he's been 100%, he's nothing to write home about. And unfortunately, his home was right next to where his home is now because the Pitt Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers share a freaking facility. So at that point, Matt Canada, if he knew that was going to be his guy, he should have been scouting him. He should have been figuring out a way we're going to give him an opportunity to push the football down the field and not run the exact way we ran the first week or the week before that against the Raiders, just flipping Calvin Austin to the same side. That's not how football works. It takes creativity. It takes pushing boundaries. It takes saying, hey, man, we suck. We got to do something else. And when Mike Tomlin said that there would be changes, I thought there would be changes we could see. I will hold my breath. I will hold my water and hope that when they walk into the stadium, it's different. But I don't know how different it could be. There's no other play caller on that team. There's no other play caller on that staff. And so we'll probably see the same thing. And Bart, the Ravens and the Steelers that we once knew and loved, it's freaking over. You know why? Because now they sit on TV and talk about the Ravens and the Steelers.
Yeah, that's done. That's exactly right.
I'm sorry, Greeny. I know I went too long.
Sorry. No, you didn't go too long.
No, keep talking.
It's good. Yeah, Bart is loving every word of it. All right, as we continue, that's one of the big games of the weekend, but we'll get to the biggest. We're T-minus in 2 days and counting to the game of the year. Will the D and Big D stand for Dak, or will Dallas once again leave their hearts in San Francisco? Plus, the grudge match. All the words have been spoken. It's finally time to play. Wilson versus Wilson, a mile high, with the stakes even higher. And speaking of high stakes, We told you earlier about the passing of the legendary Dick Butkus. So here comes Graziano and Hembo today. It's a Butkus-themed question. They have awarded the Dick Butkus Award in college every year since 1985. Who's the only player to win that award twice? That's the question. The answer is next. Graziano inexplicably loosening up his quads to try and answer the question. All right, we lost the great Dick Butkus yesterday, one of the genuinely great players and legends in the history of American professional sports. So in his honor, we have a Dick Butkus-themed question for you today, Graziano. It's a college football question.
In his honor, I'm going to lay Hembo out on this.
Okay. Dick Butkus Award to the best linebacker in the country. It's been awarded since 1985. Who's the only player to win it twice?
Brandon has this one, too, because the same guy won it the first 2 years it was awarded, and it was Brian Bosworth.
How did you know that?
Like, how do people know things like this? It's trivia.
That's incredibly good.
Brandon got it too.
He didn't even have to think about it. That you just knew that.
Kind of in there somewhere. I wonder what would be more useful to me than that fact in my brain.
Anything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I should make room for some better stuff.
That is incredible. It is correct. Brian Bosworth at Oklahoma, 85 and 86. Graziano.
Shout out, by the way, to the bartender at Koshan in New Orleans, who, when I was paying my check Saturday night, said, "Keep giving Sneaky Hembo the business."
And there you go. You are most certainly giving him the business. All right, well done. The next game is called Who You Got? We got a huge game Sunday night. That's what we've got. RC, Cowboys, Niners. Who you got, Micah Parsons or Nick Bosa?
Listen, I'm not into predicting, but I'm going to tell you who it got to be. It has to be Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is so much more important to what the defense of the Dallas Cowboys does as opposed to Nick Bosa. Yeah, Nick Bosa is a great player, but Micah Parsons is the spark plug of this entire Dallas Cowboys team. And Jagged Edge had a song called I Gotta Be, and that's what Micah Parsons has to be. He has to be the best player on the entire field Sunday, or they don't have a chance.
Mike T, let's talk about receivers. You got C.D. Lamb and Brandon Cooks or Ayuk and Debo?
Ayuk and Debo. Trayvon Diggs is out. Brandon Cooks has been a little bit of a disappointment. This one's pretty easy. Brock Purdy's playing great football. This is a really good passing game.
He's also got a better tight end, and he's got better running back.
Debo's playing hurt. He's got a couple injuries. He might not be 100%.
We'll see, but let's get to the quarterbacks. Here's the big one. Bart, you got Dak or you got Brock?
I'm going to the Purdy party because, listen, his ceiling may not be as high as Dak's, but his floor is a lot higher than Dak's because I know what I'm going to get, consistency. He doesn't have to be great. Dak has to be great, and that puts too much pressure on him. Look at all those nice passes, right? Those are five-yard dumps that go for 50 yards or 20 yards inside of the stat sheet.
Brock Purdy is doing just enough. In the meantime, Dak knows just how much is at stake in this game.
This game's got a lot of good that can come from. It means more than just one game. From a team that's been consistent in the past few years, knocked us out of the playoffs in the last 2 years. There's a lot that we can gain from this win that makes it definitely more than just one game. But at the end of the day, we know we're confident as hell in who we are and what we've got and what we can bring to the table and where this team is and where this team has grown in the past couple of years. So excited as hell for the matchup.
But look, Dak Prescott has played very well against San Francisco in the regular season. He's 2-0 with a total QBR of 81. That changes completely in the playoffs where he's 0-2 with a 41 total QBR, which, as you can see, is well below what the rest of the league has done against San Francisco. So there have been struggles. I put it to you as simply as I can, Ryan Clark. Is it fair for us to say this game is about Dak? He has to be great for his team to win what feels like the most important game of the season so far.
Yes, it's about Dak because, one, we're going to make it about Dak no matter what. So I think that's a huge thing. But I think Dak needs this for himself. Dak needs to go out and perform and sort of exercise some of those demons we've had in the playoffs. But we also have to realize exactly what you just said, Greeny. He's played well against the San Francisco 49ers during the regular season. So what's going to happen coming out of this game? He may be able to provide some confidence for himself, put his team in a better position to host a playoff game if these two teams meet. But it's going to be about the moment of the playoffs. Then that's going to be the next conversation. Yeah, oh, Dak, you've played great in the regular season, but this is the playoffs, and we know what happens to you in the playoffs. So for Dak, it's about building consistency. For Dak, it's about building his own confidence, continuing to form continuity with some of these new players offensively without having Ezekiel Elliott, continue to show that he can be the leader that steps through the adversity, that walks through the fire, and comes out clean. This is a huge game. This is a huge game to keep pace. This is a huge game to see where do we stand when it comes to the NFC's elite. But this is also big in washing away the stinky smell that is still on this team for playing the Arizona Cardinals, from getting physically abused, physically dominated by the lesser team in the AFC West. If you want to show us that you're tough, stop the run. If you want to show us that you've grown, execute in the red zone. If you want to show us that you're better than what you used to be, don't turn the ball over. That's what the Dallas Cowboys have to do for them, not for us. So it's not necessarily a must win. It's a must play well. It's a must compete. It's a must change things for Dak Prescott. And he has to do that for his team and for himself.
I think we see it, right? So that sets the table really nicely. So give me the game plan. San Francisco's got an unbelievable defense. We all understand how good they are, and the 49ers have the better offensive weapons. So what is Dak? What is the game plan for Dak against the Niners Sunday?
It's like when you go in a boxing match and you're the boxer and you have to establish some respect. You got to punch the bullies in the mouth. Right? Trent Williams going to be out there doing his thing, and I love that matchup between him and Michael Parsons, right? But you got to go out and you got to dare to punch the bully in the face and say, hey, not today. The more physical team's going to win, right? And traditionally, it's been the San Francisco 49ers, but the Dallas Cowboys is a team that prides themselves on being physical on defense as well, physical on the offensive line. All things are similar. Both teams have great players at the offensive line. Whether you talk about Trent Williams, you talk about Zach Martin, they're equal. Where they're not equal is, I think, at the linebacker position, being able to have that bridge player, right? So you look at, you know, you talk about the run game. That's about linebackers coming downhill and taking two for one. You can't have guys go one for one. You got to be able to be, you know, one and a half more man than the guy you're going against.
I'm telling you, the narrative of this game is Rex Ryan's going to sit in this seat on Monday, and he's going to talk about the efficiency of the Dallas Cowboys offense. Again, Mike McCarthy put his whole job on the line, goes back to one decision. It was second and two in the playoff game, going back to January. The game is tied.
Here's the play.
Yeah, it's 6-6. They're at the 18-yard line. There's a minute 24 to go, and he throws an interception. That will not happen on Sunday, I promise you. This team is not playing offense. They are playing keep away. He's 31st in the NFL in yards per pass attempt, and they're fourth in scoring. They are going to be methodical, and they are going to be risk adverse, and they're going to win the game.
Well, let me make sure I understand what he's saying. He's saying.
Yes, he's saying they're playing keep away.
They feel if they don't turn the ball over, he feels they're going to win.
But on the flip side, right, this team has been predicated on their defense getting turnovers and getting points for them. What if that doesn't happen?
That's how
then you have to let Dak loose because you can't just play keep away.
That's what happened. They've given up fewer than 20 points in both of these playoff losses, right? So their defense has not been there. Go ahead, RC.
But y'all got to really listen to Mike Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum just said in a very nice, sweet Mike Tannenbaum way, the Dallas Cowboys just went in spite of Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is 31st, very, very low in yards per attempt. Dak Prescott is a guy you want to protect. If it's second and two, ooh, you can't be one of those teams that are aggressive on second and two and try to get a big play and then come back to third down and get the 2 yards so you can get new sticks, because we don't want Dak Prescott to throw an interception. I don't think that's the way Dak Prescott wants to be seen. I don't think that's why Dak Prescott told the reporter on Sunday, if you wanted to piss me off, now you've pissed me off. Thank you. I needed to be pissed off. You don't get pissed off to go out and show people your little pea shooter. You don't get pissed off to go play the San Francisco 49ers and be check down Charlie. That's not how it works. And so either Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott have a different view of who Dak Prescott is, or we are saying that if we let Dak Prescott go out and do quarterback-like things, we can't win football. And if that's the truth, we also can't win a Super Bowl. And so I get it that Mike McCarthy has to be smart about the way he approaches this game. But if you handcuff Dak, you handcuff this entire team when it comes to the bigger picture. It's not just about this week, y'all. Like, it's not. I know they tell you, don't look ahead. Why the hell not? You play to win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott has to come to play. Dak Prescott has to be everything he believes himself to be, and he has to execute. And if I'm Mike McCarthy, I gotta let him go do that. We can't protect him just so we get a W this week. Hey, I once had an employee at my training staff that I would only put with kids. And he walked up to me and he said, RC, you gotta let me out the nest. You just keep feeding me with worms. I said, that's because you can't hunt yourself, son. Y'all better let Dak Prescott hunt.
Danny, go.
I agree. Until that last part, I was in agreement with RC on this. I think like if the Bears had said to Justin Fields last night, like, hey, just don't turn it over. Be careful. We can beat this team.
Yeah.
Like they probably don't. And guess what? They were aggressive down the field early on from the start, and he didn't turn it over either, by the way. They let him play quarterback. I think, if you're the Cowboys, like, it's not a division game, right? Like, you feel like you're going to be in the playoffs. Take some shots. Like, take a chance. Show the 49ers something that they don't think you are.
No, context is everything,
guys. Get them on
their
heels.
What Mike McCarthy is saying, in this game, our defense can win the game as long as we don't lose on offense.
And our offense can't win a game.
Yeah, in
so
this game.
So what happens then?
So that's the context.
Then when Nick Bosa sacks you on first down, and now it's second and 15.
We're going to give up on the drive.
Football's a game of adjustments, but going into it, I'm telling you, they will not.
Listen, Mike Tannenbaum is not wrong. If they don't turn the ball over in each of those two playoff games the last 2 years, the result is different. It's just that simple. And you yourself predicted this morning. Neither team's going to score 20 points.
I agree. But I'm saying if I'm the Cowboys, I would take some shots. I would try and be something that the 49ers don't think I am and try and surprise
them. Put the picks on the screen. Let's see what we all think these teams are. Tannenbaum, after saying all of that, Tannenbaum is the only one picking the Cowboys.
And Rex will sit here on Monday. The easily aggrieved Rex Ryan will sit here on Monday and vindicate my choice today.
Right, can't play scared, man.
We got to get to another grudge match. No one's scared of this one. Whoever would have thought that a matchup of 1-3 teams would be this interesting, this meaningful, this personal? We'll get to the bottom of the matchup a mile high next on a Football Friday on ESPN.
Even after all these years, I still get excited for that first game. We got a long off season, so it's been a while since I played a game. But looking forward to that, obviously playing against you.
Connor Bedard.
The expectations are high, you know that. How are you feeling about your first game?
Super excited. It's a childhood dream, of course. Growing up and being a big fan, pretty cool to face off against you.
It's an opening night triple header, Tuesday on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Take it easy on us?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, time now for DraftKings Sportsbook Predictions. They're brought to you by DraftKings. Today, the number we have is Tua, 277.5 passing yards against the Giants. Over, under, let's go. Bartholomew, what do you got? Tua, 277.5 against the G-Men.
Take the over. The hamstring helper will be in effect early. You better load up on that pickle juice because I tell you what, this is going to be a track meet.
So you like the Dolphins in a big way and Tua with the over. RC, Josh Allen, more or less than 2.5 total touchdowns against the Jaguars.
I'm going to say more. When you look at Josh Allen, especially in the red zone, he loves to use his legs and get in that end zone and let us see that finger roll. And Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen were tied in so closely last week, but he was also big to a guy like Gabe Davis down the football field. Josh Allen is one of the leading candidates for the MVP, and I think that continues this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Graziano, Zach Wilson in Denver, will he have more or fewer than 1.5 passing touchdown?
I got to go with fewer. He has gone over this number just 6 times in 26 career games. He's never had 3. I just feel like it's a lot to ask. I think if the Jets are going to win this game, we see a lot of Breece Hall and a lot of the run game setting this up, because Zach Wilson, as good as he was Sunday night, we have not seen it sustained for any period of time in his career yet.
No, we'll see. He's going up against a defense that certainly has struggled. Now, the Jets are looking for some revenge after the Broncos coach Sean Payton trashed their offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, who, of course, was Denver's head coach last year. Lest you have forgotten, back in July, Sean Payton telling USA Today it might have been one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. That's how bad it was. Everything I heard about last season, we're doing the opposite. So Hackett, of course, was asked about that yesterday.
Did you ever talk to him? Like,
no.
At the time, he said he never.
Nope.
Did he reach out, or you didn't accept the call, or?
Nope. Let's put it this way, everyone. This game is about those guys out on that field. This game is not about me. It's about me helping them during the week. But I just want the guys to go out there and play a great game. That's all we're looking for.
Okay, so here we go. Bartholomew.
All caps. Yeah, he lied through his teeth.
Lying, why?
This is personal. This man attacked my integrity, who I was as a coach. This is personal, man, and I'm making sure I'm drawing up some stuff that I can try and light this scoreboard up. And I'm telling you, man, this is personal. When Aaron said, keep my coach name out your mouth, he verified that it is personal. This bat signal was up. Listen, the conversations within that locker room, we're going to find out who really likes their coach, man. I'm telling you, RC knows what it's a lot about. You know, you red dot people on this one, man. Like, this is one of these things, like, man, we're going to start knocking people out. We want to embarrass this guy, because if he did a horrible job, what type of job are you doing if you're 1-5 after this season if you're Sean Payton? So I'm telling you, this team is going to come out, and they're going to play with a level of intensity that we haven't seen the Jets play with early this season.
What do you think, RC? That element of this game.
I think it's funny, based off of their performances last year, that we are this excited about a Russell Wilson, Zach Wilson battle or competition. That's first off. And I disagree with Graziano in this sense. Like, let Zach Wilson do what he does. I mean, he was able to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs are a very good defense this season. The Denver Broncos defense is buns, and I mean like straight buns, like not the soft buns, like the hard buns that you leave out and they get stale as hell in your pantry. Like, let Zach Wilson be who he was last week and power him to be the player that we saw, that when he put his back foot in the ground, you saw conviction in each throw, that the ball placement was excellent in the end zone. Let him do that. And also, Bart is right. We use anything to be pissed off in the locker room. And when I say anything, anything. I used to make up stuff that people said about me. I used to walk by dudes and they could be whispering. You could be praying and you could be like, God, I get on my knees and I praise you. I'd be like, what? You said get on my knees. I'm trying to find anything. So you think that if somebody goes out and says this about Nathaniel Hackett, who, by the way, is such a pleasant human. I got to meet him this offseason. Dude is funny. Dude's engaging. Dude embraces his players. So you think those Jets dudes don't want to go out and be physical? You think the Jets don't want to go out and embarrass the Broncos? And you think the Jets ain't watching that Dolphins tape and the Chicago Bears tape from last week, licking their chops? Did you ever think that Zach Wilson would be anticipating a matchup? He looked like he ain't won't play 3 weeks ago. He is so fired up right now. Fired up for his coach, who is dialing in with him, building chemistry with him, and he's fired up because he's playing a defense that could make us all say on Monday that Zach Wilson could be the answer when Aaron Rodgers is done. This is a huge week for the Jets, and I'm excited to see it.
So they're fired up. This is a grudge match for them. And you know who else is? I am. Put the picks on the screen. I got a bone to pick out here. We got Graziano and Tannenbaum taking the Broncos. How do you explain that?
I don't think either team is very good, and the Broncos are at home, and they're coming off a big win. And the Jets, as good as they played on Sunday, they didn't even win. They're coming off of a loss. I don't know, man. I'm just not seeing it.
Greedy, sneaky big news. What RC just talked about, those stale buns, they got rid of one of them in Randy Gregory. I think that defense got the message they'll play better.
Wow.
What does that mean? You got rid of a pass rusher. That don't mean anything. That's not going to help you.
The physical.
You think it's going to Gavin? You think it's going to Gavin?
That element of this game, Russell, is it real or is it not real?
It's super real. I tell you what, Russell Wilson has a lot at stake when this Marshawn Lynch interview came out about him being able to galvanize and be a plus multiplier. So he goes up there and lays an egg against a great defense. Then that conversation is going to be one of those things we talk about next week as well.
No, what I think is, Nathaniel Hackett really has to impact this game, but it's the game plan they had against Kansas City, not against New England.
All right. You're very, very close to me, reeling you over once again to the corner and having you seated in front of the Rodgers jersey. You're very close to that. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All right, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And this season, new customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, a special shout-out to everybody in Kentucky who can now bet with DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code GETUP when you sign up.
Meanwhile, lots still coming today. First Take on the way at the top of the hour. What does last night's win mean for Justin Fields? What would a win Sunday mean for Dak and the Cowboys? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., RC, and Bart are coming up. And then after that, it's McAfee. He's live in Dallas ahead of the Sooners and Longhorns. Baker Mayfield will be part of the proceedings. McAfee, noon Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and on YouTube. Huge weekend lineup tomorrow. Number 12, Oklahoma. Number 3, Texas at noon. WNBA Finals Sunday afternoon. Number 5, Monday night. Oh, excuse me, Week 5, Monday Night Football, Packers, Raiders. And then Tuesday, it's NHL opening night. A triple header highlighted by the debut of Connor Bedard. This has become a week of make fun of everything greeny.
Let's get this.
I'll be watching.
Let's get it.
That's a lot of medicine in those.
It's one man whose hips move and one man whose don't.
I live in a van. I am a motivational speaker.
Booker's head looks
like a giant baby.
That is a really big head. It looks like a planet. Jimmy Butler turned a lot of heads. This is
terrible.
Does the look have a name?
Say, it's a pimp named Slickback.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Is Taylor Swift 6'7"?
The man boobs were kind of what jumped out at me.
Y'all done lost y'all's freaking minds up here, man.
We are very simple humans.
He's coming back!
We are manifesting this.
I'm going to go and get rid of all that doo-doo.
I'll be honest with you.
Up to the jersey. We're talking
I'm not talking
jersey.
To a jersey. Okay. I'm looking at you.
Okay.
What do you call a chicken that stares at lettuce?
Chicken Caesar salad!
Oh, no! Oh. A fun week, like crazy. He never gets to do that on you.
Glad Himbo got one right. Yeah, that was good. It was good to see.
He finally won a game this weekend. What game you got? You got Patriots and
Saints
this weekend. Where are you headed this weekend?
I'll be in Bristol.
Okay, fair enough. So the law firm offices of Greenberg and Tannenbaum are temporarily closed. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts.